This is the Urban Political,
the podcast on urban theory, research, and activism.
We delve into contemporary urban issues with scholars, activists, and policymakers from around the world,
providing informed views, state-of-the-art knowledge, and unusual insight. The podcast aims to advance our understanding of urban environment and how we might make them more just and democratic.
Welcome to the Urban Political Podcast. This week's podcast, Reclaiming the Tourist City, explores the rise of tourism as a political subject in today's cities. As in many other places, Berlin has experienced a huge boom in tourism over the last 10 years. We'll be exploring this political issue in relation to a very particular site in the city, Checkpoint Charlie. What we're interested in particular is how this process is unfolded around a development controversy and what this means for left-wing politics in the city and the broader relevance of the case for cities worldwide. In Berlin, we have the particularly interesting context of having, since 2016, a left-of-centre coalition government of the Social Democrats, the Left Party, and the Greens.
My name is Markus Kipp, and I'm your host, together with my colleague Ross Beveridge. And in our studio with us is Christoph Sommer, activist and researcher on the topic. And we'll be interviewing several other activists, politicians, and tourists. Checkpoint Charlie is the famous border crossing in Cold War Berlin at the intersection of Friedrichstraße and Zimmerstraße in the very city center. It is a heavily touristified area, a real tourist bubble, and I really dislike this place. I find no reasons why I should go there, and I really am afraid as a bicyclist to pass through this area. So it was a real surprise for me last summer to hear that people envisioned something else for this place other than a tourist bubble.
Well, I'm sure your very positive view of Checkpoint Charlie is shared by a lot of people who live in Berlin. And certainly one of the things that we're interested in today is to look at how these places, because for Checkpoint Charlie, most big cities will have the place where, for residents of the city, there are virtually no-go areas because they're so full of tourists and tourist shops, these kind of things. There's no real reason to go. But in these places, generally, we expect certain things to happen. And when, as we will see, something else might happen or can happen, when the political situation changes, we have to look at why, and we can start asking bigger questions about politics in the city, which is what we intend to do in this podcast. Welcome, Christoph Sommer, who's a PhD candidate at the Humboldt University of Berlin, researching issues of urban tourism, and was consulted by, was involved in a consultation on the Checkpoint Charlie debate by the Berlin government, and has been active in media outlets around it. Welcome, Christoph.
Hello. Thanks for having me here. I'm looking forward to this discussion with you about Checkpoint Charlie.
So, Christoph, why is Checkpoint Charlie important?
Checkpoint Charlie is, for various reasons, important. Checkpoint Charlie is obviously one of the top must-sees in Berlin. There are 4 million visitors a year at this famous place, which has so much to tell in historical terms about the Second World War, about the Cold War, about real estate development. So it has a big meaning for visitors. And of course, Checkpoint Charlie is, from my point of view as researcher in the field of urban studies and tourism studies, Checkpoint Charlie is important because there you can see a very intensive interrelation of cityness and tourism. And of course, the question which is at stake here is what role do places like Checkpoint Charlie, Must Sees play in this over-tourism debate? So is over-tourism only something which takes place in small neighborhoods, or do we have the over-tourism phenomenon also in inner city places, and how can we get out of this? And this is at least the very question which interested me and which was a reason for me to get involved into the planning process, because now there is the chance to rebuild Checkpoint Charlie in some way. There are two empty spaces left here in Berlin, which is a special situation.
Okay, let's have a look at the scene at Checkpoint Charlie.
Came down and pointed their guns in towards the east. Within a half an hour, Soviet tanks appeared on the other side of the border, and for one day, American guns and Soviet guns faced each other, waiting for World War III to begin.
I just came for a little prolonged weekend, and we just stumbled upon this place, and I knew that Checkpoint Charlie exists, but I didn't really know what is it about, so I really appreciate this exhibition, that people can just come in for free and just read about all the history. It's really made in a very, very good way, I would say. Very entertaining, I would say, yeah.
Okay. Mm. What do you expect to see here?
I expect to...
Something bigger, more, I don't know, bigger.
I was living all my years in the communist side of the Europe. I tend to appreciate the Western culture and the Western side. So I think this is one of the historical places to visit.
So it looks very commercial to me. Especially with this checkpoint, with the guards, I think they're just play guards, and all the fancy shops in the background. It looks a bit unreal.
I'm going every day from home to work over here. Cycling. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrible. Just many cars going every which way, not knowing what they should do. Unloading, you know, very blocked everything. Many people, ugly architecture.
So, which is obvious, is that you see many people crossing the street, watching or looking at the info boards. You see tour guides telling the people something about the history of this place. You see wheelo bikes, you see a lot of travel buses searching lots. You see people selling US and Soviet memorabilia. You see, when you look into the streets, you see a lot of franchise brands like McDonald's, KFC, or Coffee Fellows. So there's very, very much going on there. It's a little bit hectic. There happened something in the past, that there was this gap opened for the border. And when you know it, then it gets very, very clear that during the Second World War, the houses were bombed aside there. And after the war, the border station was built into this gap. And so there are, on the west side and on the east side of the Friedrichstraße, there are so-called Brandmauern. These are walls of the buildings without windows, and they in some way indicate that here at this place was a gap in the city, which was or which is a result of Second World War, and which was used for this border station. So. And exactly on these left empty places, there is a real estate development planned. And this is what the whole discussion about the future of Checkpoint Charlie is about. How should these two empty places be developed?
So, Christoph, What's at stake at Checkpoint Charlie?
So there are, from my point of view, mainly three aspects at stake. So this is, first of all, the heritage value of the place. And the second point will be, and I will go into it, will be the connectedness of the place to the inner city Berlin in general. And the third point, which is quite important, and is about the way different interests are coming together, are intersecting in this planning process. And this question is a little bit more about how are we doing urban development together in a city. So the first point, the heritage value. Yeah, I think the heritage value results of the various layers of time you can read in space at this specific Checkpoint Charlie. So to be more precise, you can see that there was the Second World War, which took place there also because bombs fall down there and a gap resulted in the urban fabric, where later on the border station was built, the place or a significant place of the Cold War, of course, of geopolitical confrontation. And then you can see, of course, also something, or you can learn something about the development in the last 20 years. So there was nothing happening there because of real estate speculation, which started in the 90s. And so these are three layers you can learn a lot about at this distinct place, but you can even go back further and see that there is the specific Mauer Street, which has the Mauer Street has nothing to do with the Berlin Wall, but with a wall of the city which was built in the 19th century. And this street is not conform with the urban street grid at this Friedrichstadt. It is in some way diagonal, or it is breaking with this very, very early urban formation there. So in sum, you can see various layers of time at this place. And this is what makes the heritage value a very, very big issue. The second point is the second big question is, are there any options to integrate such a tourist bubble, which is so highly frequented, a little bit better into the daily happenings of Berlin? So you have to imagine there are lots of people working in this area. There are few people living there. There are many, many, many visitors every day on the streets there. And the question is how to develop such a place a little bit beyond a pure tourist bubble, and how to integrate it a little bit more into the daily happenings. And this is about this question is about usages. What kind of stuff can you do there? What kind of stuff can you buy there? So there's not a lot of planning needed. This is a big question. And how do you So maybe this is enough to the second point. And the third point is, of course, the processual aspect issue. How are we going to, or how are we planning together this place? There are so powerful interests. Of course, there is a real estate economy which is booming in Germany. International venture capital is going into the Berlin real estate market. And of course, there are investor interests at place. And of course, there need to be powerful political interests regarding the fact that we have a Social Democrat, Green Party and a Linke Partei in the parliament. And they promised a more progressive, participatory development, urban development. And so they need to show that they can realize this participatory development at places like Checkpoint Charlie as well. So this is the third aspect, which in some way, of course, politicized the whole process.
So how did we get to where we are today? Now we're going to hear from the former Berlin Senator for Culture, Thomas Fliehl, but the development of Checkpoint Charlie from the 1990s onwards.
Aber jedenfalls war die Strategie nach 1990 dort ein amerikanisches Welthandelszentrum zu errichten. Also in der imaginierten großen historischen Rolle, in die Berlins, in die Berlin unmittelbar nach 1990 wieder steigen sollte.
After 1990, the strategy was to establish a U.S. World Trade Center. This was part of the imagined return of Berlin to its historical role, which was based on completely unrealistic and unachieved forecasts for economic growth and increasing political power. The idea of the World Trade Center was promoted by right-wing politicians who thought that the Americans should be rewarded, so to speak, for their victory in the Cold War. The plans for the U.S. World Trade Center failed entirely. Only a few individual buildings by Philip Johnson were built. The entire landscape is a document of failure to the first euphoric strategies to transform the place in the 1990s. At that time, the side which had won the Cold War, to a certain extent, the West, was not willing to demonstrate its strength or come up with a reasonable urban development plan. As a result, Checkpoint Charlie was for a long time a story of failure and lack of investment.
Dafür zu entwickeln, so dass also lange Zeit das eine Geschichte der Pleiten.
What happened after the 1990s on this site then?
Okay, so there were different plans, of course, to at least add some historical information to the place, and so there is this one temporary exhibition about the checkpoint, the Cold War, and there is this so-called Assisi panorama. This is also a temporary exhibition which shows a 360-degree panorama picture of the wall. So we have these temporary usages or offerings on site. And of course, we have the checkpoint hut I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, which is so important for the visitors to take pictures, to make selfies, to do tourist photography. So the place is attracting, of course, visitors all over the time, all over the last 20 years. And now, obviously, Berlin is so important again as place to invest real estate capital that there are investors again who want to invest there and who are able to buy all the debts that are on the empty spaces. So we have this interest of the investors again, which is in general a big issue in Berlin, because also in respect to the housing market, which is very much driven by private investors and which results in big challenges regarding rent prices. So this is, by the way, maybe one reason why Checkpoint Charlie is was not from the beginning on so in the center of the political debate, because there are so many other pressing issues for many, many Berliners regarding rent prices and so on, that many Berliners maybe didn't take much care about the future of Checkpoint Charlie.
Christoph Rauhut, who is the director of the conservation agency of the state of Berlin, believes that there is a current opportunity for the city to do justice to this historical significance of the site.
And what happened afterwards in the 90s and also in the beginning of since 2000, in the recent years, is that this space was very slowly developed, but the Checkpoint Charlie itself was kind of left open, and this is at the moment actually its chance for our time to preserve this openness, and this is what is at stake, to preserve Checkpoint Charlie not only in certain elements but as a spatial location in the city. And this is what makes it also different to a number of other places where we can tell the story of the separation of the city. The Checkpoint Charlie changed the city and changed the city fabric at that very place. And even though the reunification is now 30 years ago, it's still there. So this is our chance nowadays to preserve this very specific situation.
So in the current discussion around a new development plan for the site, there's obviously the plan to have two squares on each side of the Friedrichstraße. But there's also the discussion around establishing a museum on the site, a museum of Checkpoint Charlie. And the controversy is around the question of whether we actually need a museum on the site, and if so, what kind of museum, what kind of shape should this museum take? So let's have a look at what Christoph Rauhut says about the need to establish museums on cultural heritage sites.
Well, I'm convinced that every cultural heritage site is a museum of itself in a way. That's why we list buildings or sites, because we say they have a meaning, they have a cultural meaning, and this cultural meaning has to be preserved. And as such, each cultural heritage site can be seen as a museum, but it's always a museum which is in use, and this is what makes it special. And I think this is where you can always add to the explanation. And you could add to this explanation by, for example, establishing a museum at this very location. I think it's important that you decide not whether you want to have a museum or the site, but you have the site and the museum is something on top, basically.
What do you think about it? Does Checkpoint Charlie need a museum on the site?
I think what is interesting about this discussion is, of course, that there are maybe two competing ideas of how to remember history. So I totally agree that a museum is something which at Checkpoint Charlie is something which is on the top, or which is in some way supplementing the historical qualities of the space itself. So from my point of view, it would be in some way paradox if a museum which is built to remember something destroys large parts of the stuff which is to remember. So what we need here is an open debate about the question, exactly, do we need another monothematic museum about the Cold War? Or are there enough museums in Berlin which are dealing with this issue as well? Do we need new or more more innovative formats to remember history on the one side, but to discuss about very current issues of borders, of confrontation as well? So this is a debate which we need to deal with these competing ideas of how to remember history at this specific site.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one thing I thought then was missing perhaps is this notion of for whom is the place, and then also for whom is the heritage, you know, and how do you make heritage in this particular place meaningful to Berliners, people who don't go there. That's a kind of, that was Thomas Fehl's point, wasn't it? How do you get beyond this pressure, this somehow self-imposed pressure to make this space entertaining? And one thing that you have to wonder is how you make that heritage really accessible to people beyond the tourists who go there. And if you can do that with heritage in that kind of place in the middle of Berlin, you know, full of tourists, full of McDonald's, all the things that we mentioned earlier. I mean, is that possible? Is it realistic?
Yeah, it is a quite a good question, and it is worth a try. It is worth a try, I would say. It is, of course, for sure that Checkpoint Charlie will always be a famous tourist site, and this is not bad per se. But what can you do? Yeah, you can maybe, as I tried to explain already, try to build a place which serves as a place of debate, yeah, for lots of issues and for the people living in Berlin. This is one aspect, but beyond the museum, you have to think about the question how to integrate Checkpoint Charlie as urban place into the urban fabric again. And this is an aspect which is important in terms of what can you do there concretely beyond visiting a museum or beyond visiting a place of debate. So is it a place where you would like to have lunch with your colleagues from Georgsmalzentrum, for example? Yeah, this is possible. Think about the Museumsquartier in Vienna. Think about the Lehnbachhaus in Munich. These are tourist sites, which are at the same time places where people go for lunch and like to go there for lunch. Yeah. So and then you can have a look at the other, in German we say Nutzungen, or the other things you can do there beyond buying stuff. Yeah. So it is not the only option to build retail stuff in there. Yeah. You can also check out whether you can build some other usages in there which are interesting not only for visitors who want to buy brands, but also for people working in this area, people living there, are not so many people living there, but for other people as well. So of course you have to take into account the heritage value, and it's a difficult question whether you can build a basketball court on the rooftop of one of the buildings there, but this would be, of course, one more facility or usage which would contribute to integrate the place a little bit more into the urban daily life again.
Well, I'm just wondering if the way to make it interesting. The way to connected to Berlin is to make it interesting. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like it's going to be really possible to make this place interesting to Berliners again. Seems like an ambition. I mean, it's not just a question of Berlin. I mean, you talked about other places also have this pressure in the center of the city to bring people back in because of this kind of spread of kind of touristified areas, standardized areas. You just have to wonder if the ambition, if the way of connecting it is to make it more interesting, then surely the chances are very slim.
Yeah, but this is, of course, no reason not to try it, not to try to reintegrate Checkpoint Channel a little bit more into the daily inner city life. But one point is absolutely important you mentioned, and this is the point that, of course, many, many cities are confronted with this question how to deal with ever-growing tourism in inner city areas. So, and this is a question so many cities have to deal with, and Checkpoint Charlie is a perfect example to take this challenge seriously and to find new answers of how to think beyond the tourist bubble, which is a quite negative term. In more general terms, we all together, cultural politicians, tourism politicians, urban planners, need to
find ways to plan, to develop inner city areas, which are very, very much used by tourism, in a way that these inner city areas are not getting totally lost to the ever-growing flows of visitors.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's perhaps something that we'll come back to later when we talk about political process. But one thing that just occurred to me there is that if you really want to do that, then the way you connect these places is by changing the use of those spaces. And if you see it in a kind of, I don't know, a Marxist perspective, you know, it's, at the moment it's all exchange over use. You know, if you it's making money out of the space rather than using the space for kind of basic needs like living and shelter, all these kind of things that people need for their daily lives. And that would be the way to actually make it, to reconnect it. And I think that's something we might come back to when we hear what the Frau Gemburg says from the Left Party, you know, how they imagine this space, you know. So it's in a way you just have to change it. It really radically rethink how the space is used if you really want to connect to Berliners. You know, you can't just like hope that you make it a little bit interesting around the fringes. You have to move people in to live there, or you have to really change the relationship between exchange and use, to use that kind of Marxist distinction.
Yeah, absolutely interesting point. By the way, two aspects. There are 300 apartments planned at Checkpoint Charlie. This is something we should not forget.
300 housing units for whom?
Yeah, good question. This is not defined right now. So this is an open question, and it makes a big difference whether we will have serviced apartments, which are, of course, very, very expensive, or whether we have normal apartments affordable for Berliners as well. So this will be another urban political decision which needs to be made. And the other important question I think you proposed is, do we really need predefined usages, or can we not deal with an empty space in the inner city area which we can reinterpret and reuse in a more flexible way? So this is another interesting question, I think.
But can Berlin really afford to leave an empty space at Checkpoint Charlie given the heated real estate market? This challenging question around heritage preservation and urban development will be addressed in a statement again by Thomas Flierl.
Insofern kann man auf die Frage,
regarding the question as to whether Berlin can afford to leave a void there, one can say that without this space, the enormous wealth and meanings that are concentrated here cannot be articulated. If you fill the gap, you'll find that there will be nothing left of it. And then you let the chance to allow this place to be experienced or communicated slip away. And that is the danger.
This concludes part one of this episode, in which we considered the question of heritage preservation and urban development at Checkpoint Charlie. In part two, we'll be focusing on the political attempts at regaining democratic control over the site. We'd like to say thank you to Christoph Sommer for participating in this episode.
Thank you for listening to the Urban Political.
For more information, visit our website urbanpolitical.podigy.io.
Please subscribe and follow us on Twitter